Hello, and welcome to our worship from West Highlands. Today is the second Sunday in Lent. And if we look at the world around us, we see some awful things happening in Ukraine and in other places as well. As I stand here, I wonder what images will appear on our screens later today, tomorrow, the next day. In our readings, we're going to be looking at worldly kingdoms and worldly values, and God's kingdom and God's values. Everyone is invited into God's kingdom. And our call to worship, some words from the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens it, I will come in. Our first hymn is a well-known and wonderful hymn of praise, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. It is a hymn we can sing as a prayer that the time will truly come when all do accept the invitation into God's kingdom. And all do praise the Lord.
Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. Living God, magnificent and mysterious, there is no place where you are not. But there are some places whose beauty or whose long history of being set apart for worship make it easier for us to be drawn into your presence. It pains us, as it did Jesus, to see such holy places being desecrated by conflict, exploitation or abuse. And we weep with you for those who have died in violent attacks on mosques and churches, Hindu temples and Sikh gurdwaras. We grieve also for the attackers, whose faith is so distorted that they imagine you might be pleased by their actions. It is easy, O God, to see where others have gone wrong, but not so easy to admit to our own faults and failings. And we too have dishonoured you and given our churches a bad name whenever we have listened to gossip or helped to spread it. when we have fallen out over something that seemed important at the time, but actually matters not a jot. Or when we have come here with anything other than worship at the forefront of our minds. Forgive us, we pray, and help us, if it is not too late, to undo some of the damage we have caused. Draw us into the warmth of your embrace and hold us until our anger and confusion and fear begin to dwindle, and we can go back out into the world again, ready to see other people, including those with whom we disagree, through your eyes of compassion and grace. May our journey with Jesus on the way to an end that we know so well be for us not a journey towards death, but a journey into life and hope and healing, not for us alone, but for the world, which is forever infused with your love because of him. Amen.
Our first reading comes from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 13, reading from verse 31 to 35. Let's listen for these words from Jesus. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "You must get out of here and go somewhere else because Herod wants to kill you." Jesus answered them, "Go and tell that fox, I am driving out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I shall finish my work. Yet I must be on my way today, tomorrow, and the next day. It is not right for a prophet to be killed anywhere except in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets, you stone the messengers God has sent you. How many times I wanted to put my arms around all your people, just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not let me. And so your temple will be abandoned. I assure you that you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Amen. And these words from Paul's letter to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 3, reading from verse 17 through to the first verse of chapter 4. "Keep on imitating me, my friends. Pay attention to those who follow the right example that we have set for you. I have told you this many times before, and now I repeat it with tears. There are many whose lives make them enemies of Christ's death on the cross. They're going to end up in hell because their God is their bodily desires. They're proud of what they should be ashamed of, and they think only of things that belong to this world. We, however, are citizens of heaven, and we eagerly wait for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come from heaven. He will change our weak mortal bodies and make them like his own glorious body, using that power by which he is able to bring all things under his rule. So then, my friends, how dear you are to me, and how I miss you. How happy you make me, and how proud I am of you. This, dear friends, is how you should stand firm in your life in the Lord. Amen."
Our gospel reading today is set towards the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. We've leapt forward in time since last week's reading, which was about the temptations that Jesus experienced at the very start of that ministry. It's quite a jump, but there is a strong connection between the two episodes, and with Jesus' ministry in between. Throughout that ministry, Jesus taught people about God's kingdom, and he showed people what that kingdom was like by the way he lived. A kingdom where love reached out with compassion, with healing, and with mercy and forgiveness. All were invited into that kingdom. into a loving relationship with God and with each other. But time and time again, that invitation was rejected. There were clashes between God's kingdom, God's values, and the worldly kingdom's worldly values. For love challenges the corrupt and oppressive practices of the worldly authorities, the worldly kingdoms. The temptations were about using worldly ways and values, not God's ways and values. Turn stones into bread. Look after yourself. Look after number one. Bow down and worship the devil. Use the power and the ways of the world. Throw yourself off the temple. Impress people with an amazing gesture. Take shortcuts, they make sense. But Jesus' work was a work of love, of relationship. It was not about impressing or forcing people. The invitation was offered, but people had to decide whether or not to accept it. Relationships have to be freely entered into. They take time to build. Shortcuts don't produce lasting results. Our gospel reading today started with some Pharisees warning Jesus to leave the area because Herod was trying to kill him. Herod was a man of worldly values. He didn't use his earthly power to help those in need, but instead used it for his own benefit. Number one mattered. He enjoyed a lavish lifestyle. He wanted to increase his own importance, to build up his kingdom, to impress people, and wasn't too concerned about the methods he used. Herod had certainly heard the message of God's kingdom through John the Baptist. He'd received God's invitation, but had not accepted it. Jesus' life and teaching challenged the corruption of worldly authorities, the worldly kingdoms, the kingdom of Herod, the kingdom of Caesar, and of the temple hierarchy. The kingdoms where lust for power, greed, oppression, selfishness, and violence reigned. As our reading from Philippians said, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Today, we see all too vivid examples of these worldly values still in practice. Worldly values and kingdoms do not like to be challenged and seek to crush those opposing them. It happened in first century Palestine. It is happening today. The warning about the danger from Herod was well founded. On his journey to Jerusalem, it's likely that Jesus was in an area that was Herod's territory. The warning may have been given in good faith, but Jesus knew where he was going and what he had to do. Nothing was going to interrupt Jesus' work, work that would result in his death. In our own lives, people may try to dissuade us from courses of action, warn us that our plans are too difficult or even dangerous, try to influence us to take a safer, easier course. Often these warnings will be motivated by care for us. We need to take them seriously, but if we're sure of God's calling, we trust and obey. Or, as our first reading expressed it, we stand firm in the Lord. I wonder how many street pastors or volunteer medical staff working in war zones received warnings from well-meaning family and friends. They, like Jesus, were not deflected from the course they knew to be right, to be the Father's will. Then, in our Gospel reading, Jesus' thoughts turned to Jerusalem, the large city, a city of many people, and the power base of those who opposed him. The city he was travelling towards. The people have continued to reject the invitation to enter God's kingdom. Jesus' sadness and sorrow are evident. The people were bringing down disaster on themselves and wouldn't allow Jesus to comfort and protect them. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I've longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. I don't know if you've seen small chicks alarmed by something. They can disappear in a flash under their mother's wings and be protected. This protection can extend to extremes. A year or so ago, there was film of an osprey in the Highlands, sitting on her nest, almost completely covered by snow, just her head visible. She sat and protected her young. There are stories of fires in farmyards, where the hen has died, but the chicks under her have survived. Perhaps Jesus' use of the idea of hen and chicks prefigures his own death, his life given that we might live. The reference to Herod as a fox may also link with foxes being seen as natural enemies of hens. Jesus knows what will happen to Jerusalem. It will be destroyed. Jesus tells them, "Look, your house is left to you desolate." But there's also hope, for he adds, "You will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Words from Psalm 118. Words which would indeed be uttered on Palm Sunday when Jesus entered Jerusalem. But they were words that would need to come from deep within, from a turning to God and a true change of heart, from accepting God's invitation and standing firm in the Lord. The hosannas of Palm Sunday would change all too quickly to "crucify." But God is ever merciful, always ready to welcome people if they turn to him. The invitation to his kingdom remains open. We know that some people in Jerusalem did accept that invitation and turn to Jesus on and after the first Pentecost. They hadn't accepted Jesus before the crucifixion, probably, or possibly, had even rejected him and his invitation. Many people have rejected Jesus and later turned to him. Saul, the persecutor, who became Paul, the apostle. In our own times, we've heard of terrorists who've become peace workers, ex-gang members who mentor others to leave destructive lifestyles. God's invitation is always there. When we look at the world around us, it can seem easy to see who is or is not accepting God's invitation. Who is more interested in worldly kingdoms than God's kingdom? But let us remember that each one of us also has to respond, to choose which kingdom and set of values we wish to follow, God's or the world's. We're in the season of Lent, a time to particularly examine ourselves and our lives. Where do we turn away from God's values? Where do we turn towards worldly values? we ask ourselves these questions, not with some wrathful God looking on in anger, but with a loving father and brother looking on and longing to help and support us. We may need to turn back repeatedly and accept God's invitation, that invitation to re-enter the loving relationship. And it is that loving relationship that motivates our words and actions, moulds the way we live. It isn't a case of working through a tick list of do's and don'ts. We aren't earning our way into God's kingdom. God's love is freely given, given to be shared. We all have our frailties. We will get it wrong on occasions. We will turn away from God. But he is still there with open arms, saying to us that he wants us to turn again and again to him, so that he can look after us and shelter us under his wings. We have to let him. Amen.
Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. Faithful God, we are awed by Jesus' ability to keep focused on his goals, to hold fast to choices made years earlier, now that he could see what it was going to cost him. We give thanks for all who, like him, refuse to stop caring for others, even when they meet with nothing but cruelty and rejection. Thank you for the vulnerability that never left him and was part of his strength. Such people are few and far between, Lord, and we pray for those, ourselves included, who find it hard to stick to your way of integrity and costly, unconditional love. We pray for parents trying to give their children a firm foundation in life, especially if they have not received what they needed early on to feel safe in the world. We think of the clear vision and idealism of so many of our young people and ask that they may not become too cynical too soon. We pray for politicians and civil servants, for charity and aid workers, teachers and carers, and all who choose a life of public service because they want to make a difference in the world. Many are tired and disillusioned. Some have compromised their ideals and some have put on a hard shell of indifference because the cost of caring and not being able to help is just too high. We pray for those who, like the people whom Jesus saw in Jerusalem, have lost their sense of purpose and direction. Those who have been let down too often to trust again. Those, again ourselves included, who cannot bear to watch or listen to the news because there is just too much suffering in the world, too many problems that cannot be solved, too many people beyond our reach to help. Loving God, may your compassion break through all our defences. May we be willing this Lent and Easter season to take just one more risk for love's sake. And in the eternal battle between goodness and evil, love and hatred, life and death, may we discover with Christ and all his faithful servants that goodness and love and life are always stronger and will win in the end. Amen.
As we come to the offering, we consider how what we have and what we are can best be used in the service of God's kingdom. Remembering that all we have and are comes from God. Lord, accept what we offer and use it as you would in the service of your kingdom. Amen. and we draw our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Here I stand on holy ground, but by your grace I live. Even in my darkest sin, I know that you forgive. It's your grace and grace alone that keeps me on my feet. By your grace and grace alone, I'm alive. All I have been, all I will be, all I am is covered by your grace alone. Loving kindness lavished on me, I'm completely covered by your grace alone. Jesus, breathe over me, lead me once again. You perfect my wayward steps, so I am not condemned. It's your grace and grace alone keeps me on my feet. By your grace and grace alone, I'm alive. All I have been, all I will be, all I am is covered by your grace alone. Loving kindness lavished on me, I'm completely covered by your grace alone. It's only by your grace when my heart condemns me, then your love befriends me. When my footsteps falter, then your love is stronger. When my heart condemns me, then your love befriends me. Footsteps falter, then your love is stronger. When my heart condemns me, then your love befriends me. Oh, at your cross, when my footsteps falter every day, covered by your grace alone. loving kindness lavished on me. I'm completely covered by your grace alone.
Lord, may our hearts be open to your love and open to share that love with others. May your spirit of love and peace touch and soften the hearts of all. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us, with all who we love, and with all God's children everywhere. Amen.
May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you.